Blog Talk Radio.
We don't need to utter but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They don't need words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. And we want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the one all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our shirts together, we're polishing up our act. If you've ever been held down before, I know.
Once again, it's Friday night, and this is the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. This is a radio program to educate and to get people to understand conditioning, what's going on in this U.S. of A., America, United States of America. So we had a lot of discussion this week and other programs other radio programs that I was on, Dr. Yvette Kinnerick, clinical psychologist, was on her program, and she was talking about how psychosocialization psychologically affected African-Americans, the enslavement of African-Americans, the Jim Crow laws, the dehumanizing, the pre-fifth laws, everything that they have done from the judicial, the constitution, the society structure, the education, the health care, the Tuskegee experiment, the syphilis that they gave those young black men in the South, just a host of dehumanizing things. And so she was saying that you would take on an inferiority complex because of those experiences that you've been going through. The only thing I would say counterproductive for that is that African Americans historically had did everything from technology, science, math, medicine, education, manufacturing, business, from the slavery time, processing the sugar and the cotton. We created the factory. We created the first car. We created blood plasma. First open heart surgery was done by an African-American doctor. So it's applicable to understand all 50,000 inventions, and you can Google this and check it out for yourself. Everything I say, you can Google and you can read it, read the history on it. Everything I said is factual and it's documented throughout the history. There's a gentleman did TED Talks, and he wanted to know where blackness and whiteness came from, where did that concept started. And he was doing some research, and he found historian professor Abraham X. Kendi, African-American professor, extremely recognized throughout the country and the world on history. He's an extremely deep thinker, and he have extensively studied history. And so he asked him, where did the concept of blackness and whiteness came from? And it came from the Portuguese. In the 1400s, around 1450, the Portuguese already scattered. Portuguese were great navigators. They would do a lot of great research, searching for other countries and other commodities and things of that sort. And so they saw Africa, and they saw the black people, and they decided they wanted to enslave them. And so the king at the time of Portugal, he decided that he needed some kind of good concept to do it. So he told his writer, Gomes, G-O-M-E-S, De, D-E, Zurara, Z-U-R-A-R-A, Gomes de Zurara, to write a narrative about blackness and whiteness. He wanted to create a savagery of these Africans. He wanted to create that they would be dehumanized in their environment. Their inhabitants was barbaric, that they were like cavemen. They were prehistoric. They were, you know, undeveloped. They were uncivilized, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because he wanted to make up an excuse why he would enslave these people. And so this guy, Gomes de Zurara, came up with the concept of what he called blackness and whiteness. And in his psychological development concept, he made whiteness pure, clean, intelligent, productive, humanitarian, good, everything good. And he made blackness barbaric, savagery, inhibitant of ancient religions or voodoo or whatever you want to call it, a totally dehumanizing image of the Africans. And this is where we got blackness and whiteness from. This is the whole concept started 1450 with this guy, Gomez de Zurara. And the concept held on. It held on until today. It's holding on even stronger. So here we are in the midst of slavery at its highest peak in the 15 and 1600s. Sugar cane propelling an economy that America never saw in its life. Cotton, a commodity that just propelled and just blew up the American economy to a far extensive thing. They were so busy. They took people from the Bahamas to South Carolina and vice versa. They were so excited about this new commodity. They were excited about this, if you will, this massive industry that was developing. And they decided that they was just going to put this thing on steroids. They were going to explode this thing all across Europe, America, the Americas, all across Asia, everywhere. And to their desire, they did just that. But the concept of dehumanizing a person is something that's always, when people are going to abuse you, an abuser always accuses his victim of doing something wrong, of being wrong, of not doing what I say, not coming on time, not preparing my food the way I ask. They have to find some legitimate excuse to abuse. And this is where we're at right now. America have abused African Americans for 400 years, and they continue to excuse themselves with the same analogy that something is wrong with the victim, that the abusee is something wrong with him. It's a reason why I do it, because nobody wants to say, I'm barbaric. I am a tyranny of savagery. I am the most evil, vile person in the world. They don't want to say that. They want to say that somebody else is vile, somebody else is barbaric, somebody else is a savage, and somebody else created the environment, not them. Nobody wants that to be identified as a person dehumanizing and destroying other human beings, regardless of where they come from. The victimizer always wants his victim to look like he or she did something. They have to be a reasonable factor. If you smack somebody right now, you're going to have to, you in your mind, your guilt, your mind, you have to have a good reason. You, even if you just smacked them off the cuff, maybe you didn't like them, maybe step on your foot, but there was no particular verbal discussion between you and the person. There was no argument. There was nothing imperative for you to do that. But if you do that, I guarantee you, you're going to come up with some kind of reasonable factor why you did it, even if you don't know why you did it. I was attacked one time by a mentally disturbed person, a mentally disturbed woman. She was criminally insane on the street. I don't know her from an Adam house cat. and she's attacking me saying I stole her Social Security check. You faggot, you this, you that, you stole my check, you stole my check, you stole my check, you stole my check. And she kept making up, you abuse her, you lied to me, you abuse me, you rape me, you this, you that. And she's making up all these vile things. Because even in her tormented mentality, even in her distorted ideology, even her mental condition that she was in, it could be a behavioral modification drugs that she missed. It could be, you know, alcoholism or drugs addiction that caused her. She could have a psychosis or a mental condition already. She could have been born with a condition. And most people that have mental conditions will self-medicate. And the usual medication is either drugs or alcoholism. So it could have been a combination of things that she had. But even in her distorted mind, she had to have a reason to attack me. So in her mind, she had to make up this understanding that I took her Social Security disability check, and I've been abusing her, and so forth and so on. Now, she don't know me from Adam Housecat, but in her mind, even in the distorted mind, there has to be a reasonable factor to abuse another person. There has to be. We self-vindicate ourselves by saying somebody did something to us. We're not the aggressor. They're the aggressor. We're not to be the accused because they're the accusers. You know, the Bible says, who's the accuser of the brethren? So some way and somehow, America has to sustain itself by having a reasonable factor of why they did what they did. But it was greed, it was money, and it was just total ignorance. There's no other, it was mean, it was dehumanized. It was the lowest form of human capacity to be dehumanizing another person. It is the lowest, like Whoopi Goldberg said, man inhumanity to man. It was the worst of the worst. And the bad thing about it, what makes it even worse is that they try to cover it up over 400 years with lies. They try to make excuses. You can't justify your sins. Now they say this is America's original sin, but you can't justify sin. Sin is sin. That's it. There's no justification for it. But they keep trying to justify their condition. They're even trying to overemphasize their capacity to be compassionate to other people by giving all these monies to people whom they have themselves bombed or had fights with, had wars with, or even other people have wars with other people. They would give all the tremendous amount of money. You can go back to Thailand. You can go to Vietnam. You can go to any country, Philippines. You can just trace the country where America did not have a conflict directly with those countries, but someone else did, and those countries end up getting bombed and whatnot. America steps in as a fairy godmother to save the day, and the white knight on the horse to come in and save the day and give all the money and rebuild. So their guilt has them trying their best to overcome the violent evilness of America, the true face of it. And so what they need to do is justify the means to the end. So they try their best, come up with a narrative. And they've been for the last 400 years, all I hear is excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. America will not say we just was evil. Just say we were evil at that time, because the condition of their evilness, it perpetuated itself into KKK, Nazism, skinheads, vile, ignorant, barbaric people who walk into churches, and little boy who walk into a church and have the ability to kill people, to a man who can cut boys' heads off, put it in the pot with salt and pepper and eat it, to a man who in New York, that killer who would just shoot couples sitting in cars and talking, he would just shoot them and kill them. To Manson, who just was a vile piece, an example of a human being, scum of the earth. He was just a vile person, and he killed white people. But I'm just saying, nevertheless, the example goes on and on and on. America wants to know, how do we get here? All the killings. 5 people got shot today in Raleigh, North Carolina. No reasonable answer why this man did this. His vile mental condition, his angriness, and his experience of being in a vile and angry and distorted environment. See, America got to understand something. You created these monsters by you not standing up for your injustice to others, by you not standing up to your vile behavior, your dehumanized, your barbaric behavior. You kept excusing yourself, just excusing yourself. That doesn't work. The Bible says, be cleansed of your sin, confess your sins, and sin not again. America keeps saying, oh, this is America original sin, but you'll keep doing it. You're consciously doing it because you're consciously aware that you are considering yourself one of the most humanitarian countries in the world. So you give out this advertisement, if you will. You set up this narrative. You set up this idea. You set up this concept that America is a place of democracy with human capacity to love everyone, a melting pot where everyone could come. But those that you brought here from the beginning, you never resolved the issue with them. And you never could do anything right until you resolve that. Until America gets slavery right. Everything else, I don't care how much money they give to other countries. I don't care how many immigrants come to this country. I don't care how many degrees immigrants get. I don't care how much money they get, how many cars they buy, how many houses they get, how wealthy they get. They can go from zero in their country, come here and become a hero with millions. I could care less. America cannot cover up its dehumanizing conditioning of the African-American community with this pretentious behavior that, oh, look at us, we're good now, we're good, we're nice, we're good. No, you got to correct the laws in this country, which are against. They're not advantageous. They're not beneficial. They're not changing the conditions of slavery. They're most likely enhancing it, covering it up, and using more covert tools to continue to dehumanize a group of people based on your need to look innocent, to look human, to look like godly, to look like humanitarians, to look like philanthropists, to look like good people. So in order for America to be good under conditions which were bad, they need to find a narrative that the conditions were that way because the people that they did it to had something wrong with them. They're pointing the finger back at the victim. They're the victimizers, and they're pointing the finger at the victim. Go be it a battered wife. The same thing when a man abuses his wife and kids, he always finds something wrong with them. He never finds anything wrong with himself. And so here we are. We're in a condition that's horrible because of one thing. America can continue to cover up the bull, but it's still bull. You can put bull is bull. You can put ice cream on it, cake, whatever. It's never going to go away. Now they have a compensatory right now to do this reparations program, HR W40. Biden can put that in. That can be some level of contentiousness to get something started, because we never got compensated, and people can say what they want to say. Everybody gets compensated. People get compensated by America, who America never did nothing to. But God will not bless America until America makes it right with those who they victimized and continue to victimize and continue the narrative that something wrong with the African-American community, that something barbaric, something evil, something vile, something of a lower level of intelligence. There's something wrong with the conditions where we come. You are our problem. Every that African Americans face, I could care less what people say. It's the conditions that we're living under. When you understand, as I went into business at a young age and I was very successful, I start to see and understand what it means for those to make money and those not to make money. The have and the have nots. As long as the have nots have not, the have think they can have more. That's their way of thinking. We live in the richest country in the world. I can tell you hands down, mathematically, and math is a science, we have more money than we have people. We have more money than we have people, but people still sleep in the street. People still cannot afford medical care. They die because of lack of finances to get the necessary medical help or medicine. Okay, old people are making the decision whether to eat dog food or to buy medicine, or rather not eat at all and buy medicine. Okay, that's the country that considers itself humanitarians. But they'll let people die in the street. And all they have to do is redistribute the finances. I'm not saying give nobody welfare for the rest of their life. I say redistribute the finances. There's enough there to take care of everyone. And if you're white and you think you're right, you're suffering. You're suffering as well. You're the poorest of the poor. You are the most afflicted. You're the most drug addict of the drug addicts. You're the most alcoholic of the alcoholic. You're the most homeless of the homeless. You're living in vile conditions, and you pretend that it's not, nothing ain't going on but the rent, but the statistics talk different. You're the criminals. And now white people are starting to say, if you wanted to curtail crime in America, arrest the white people. They're starting to say that. So we're living in these conditions, people. And until we as a people come together and make an understanding that certain things can uplift you and certain things can be not uplifting. You won't get uplifted by these things. You won't change. This continuation of this lie, continuation of dehumanizing one group over the other, Patrick Moynihan, U.S. Senator Patrick Moynihan in 1940s and 50s, he wrote about this two societies and one government. And it can't work, he told them. You can't have a thriving economic society and a poor and dehumanizing and challenged economically, socially, politically, a sector of your society. In order for the society to move forward economically and to be in a better position, America be in a better position right now if we take care of its people, the poor, the hungry, the needy, the sick. If it takes care of its people, it would be in a better condition. But what America tries to do and prefer to do is keep bringing more people that they're saying they're going to take care of to cover up the people they're not taking care of. Isn't that stupid? All you're doing is you're building up more high-level poverty, more high-level drugs and homelessness, more high school dropout, more drug addicts, more alcoholics, more conditions of more deplorable conditions, because those people are not going to be uplifted because the communities they're going to are not uplifted. Common sense, political common sense. So we need to make this government understand it's time to go back to the drawing board, write the map up again, and redistribute funds, redistribute wealth, and get the lowest to come back up so that the one in the middle can go up and the one on the top can go up. Everybody moves in America. The economy is articulated on that. Everybody moves. So it's just time for a change. It's time for a real change. You know, President Obama talked about, yes, we can. It's time for a change. It's time for a real change. It's time for some serious dialogue, not just amongst people of color who feel displaced, not just among white poor people who feel displaced, or immigrants, or Hispanics, or non-English speaking. No, it's time for the government to take control of itself and to put things back into proper order. This bickering between the Republicans and the Democrats, this consistent fighting, is covering up the fact that they need to sit down and take care of their people from the beginning. If they got to go back and rewrite the laws, rewrite the system, they got to make corrections so that everyone is an exclusive society, like you said they are, inclusive society. They got to go back and whatever it takes to make that change, and it's going to start with those who were brought here 400 years ago in slavery. It's going to take a redemption of slavery, a change. They got to make that right. I don't know if they understand it. They got to make it right, because God is not going to bless. God is not going to move forward. They got to go back and make whatever necessary changes. Yes, a lot of white people are going to be hurt. That's the first thing Biden said to the black leadership. Don't bother me, because I can't hurt these white people over here. I'm sorry. They're going to have to be hurt. We were hurt while they're glorified in their existence. Somebody got to hurt, and somebody got to have pain, and somebody have to gain. It's simplistic humanity, the human existence. So if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But the truth will set you free. Nobody said they ain't going to hurt you, but it'll set you free. It'll get you out of the condition you're in now, and it'll move you forward. America got a lot of homework to do. And the first thing is politicians got to man up and listen to the conditions that they got people in. All this bullshit back and forth, you know, repudiating Democrats repudiating Republicans, that's crap. They got to go back, look at the condition of the laws that dehumanized, incarcerated, that put poverty, high-level high school dropouts, mental health and physical health, medical health, environmental stuff, housing, projects, poverty, ghettos, hoods, impoverished areas. America got a goddamn lot of work to do. They got to go back and make it right with those who was enslaved. They got to go back and make the laws, take those laws and put them out there, put them out front, and explain why they are not conducive to every American in this country. They got to change the laws. They got to change the way they look at other people. They got to change the policing, the educational system, the medical system. All that stuff has been repudiated against African-American people, and it's dehumanizing everybody. White boy sitting in the car in the parking lot of McDonald's. The cop comes up. He opens the door. The kid is eating a burger. He shoots him and kills him. For what? That's where we're at now, because you can't abuse one sect of society and don't think all the people are going to be abused. They beat a white man the other day to a poke, four or five police officers. So it's just dehumanizing characteristics of the police department, the judicial system, the law enforcement is now filtering into other places. America got to understand they're going to self-destruct if they don't go back and make it right with slavery, go back and change the laws, stop all the undercover bullshit and tell it like it is, be forefront, stop acting like it's the Republicans, it's the Democrats. No, it's the damn system that you're running. You're running a bad system. And it's time for you to look at that system and say, damn, I got to make a change. Yes, Obama, we need to change. We need to change the goddamn American governmental system. Yes, Obama, yes, we can. We can. You politicians can go and rewrite some of this stuff and put out there. The Constitution is not the Bible. Yes, you can admit, if you can't, you got to change it. Where it's dehumanizing to a particular group of people, which is bias and racist, you got to go back and rewrite it. And you got to say what it is. There's an Indian professor, Native American professor. He broke down, it's on YouTube, the first systemic racist document is the Constitution. The first racist document is the American Constitution. Institutionalized racism started there, and it's going to have to end there. So we're going to have to work on changing that document. America got a lot of goddamn homework to do, and somebody got to drive the boat. Somebody got to give the narrative. Somebody got to say, this is the problem, that is the problem. People digest the Constitution for years. Some people give it a good A report. Some give it a B report. Some give it a C report. Some give it a D. Some give it an F. But whatever reports we're giving it, we got to sit down and digest that document. We got to rewrite those laws. We got to go to each law enforcement office, CIA, FBI, state police, city police, corrections, and we got to make a change. We got to call a spade. We got to put it out there. We got to let them know what we need to get done and how we need to get these changes on. We've got to change the narrative of this country. We've got to change the direction of this country. And it's going to take the people to stand up. The Black Lives Matter was a beautiful beginning of change. But now it's time to dialogue and talk about changing the conditions in this society called America. If you are a democracy, if you are God bless America, if you are a humanitarian, philanthropist, or you are good human beings, if this is the country of the melting pot where everybody come together and live in la-la land, let's make it that. Really make it that. Not a whole bunch of bullshit talk. Let's make it happen. And we got a lot of work to do. From the lowest of the spectrum of this American society to the middle of this American society to the top of American society, Americans have to get together and say we have to change. If American society, the people drive the government, we got 50% of the people in America are racist and hate African American people, and they could care less. We got to change the narrative for those people that are good. We got to stand up and tell this government, regardless of what those people think, you got to do the right thing. See, too many white people are scared to hurt other white people, and they're concerned. Biden already said, "Don't to the black leaders, don't push me so much that I can't, you know, these white people, you can't hurt them." Who gives a damn? I was hurt, and you didn't give a damn. Now, why do I should care about their feelings? They're saying to talk about racism in America, to talk about slavery in America, to talk about the history in America is dehumanizing, and it's hurting little white girls and little white boys. But what about the slavery experience hurting little black boys and little black girls? One is not better than the other. So no pain, no gain. We're going to have a little pain to resolve the issues of society so we can go forward. Somebody has to make that statement. Somebody has to make that happen. We as a people got to come together and change this narrative. It's so important. I'm going to open up the mic for your replies as well. 929-586. Your mic is open.
Yes, yes, my brother. Good evening. Good evening. And I'm glad that I made a mistake and turned it on and heard your voice. But, you know, we can correct that all the time. Listen, what you're saying from the beginning to the end, if we put that in context, as far as history is concerned, the Portuguese going into Africa, all right, these were wealthy, were considered wealthy people, you know, so on. As the Arabs were wealthy people, and they were enslavers, and they used Moors to do their dirt, okay, and so on. And they worked together with the Portuguese. The concept of black and white, as you righteously said, was that the people who said they were better than these people were had more power than these people did, which they really didn't. Their hearts and minds and stuff like that were supposed to be pure. At the same time, these Portuguese were black people. All right. How that transitioned from there to here is that under King George or King James the Fifth, the same thing happened to what we call white people, non-melanated people, in Europe. The hierarchy in Europe were Moors and black people. They had land. Okay, they put in servitude those people who didn't have land. Okay, and some of those people that didn't have land were so-called white people. All right, so they escaped because religious differences, Catholic Church, and you know that's why the Catholic Church wasn't even allowed here. You know, George Washington, and so they were escaping religious persecution. And then as you went along and everybody else got into the slave situation, the British particularly, the French, okay, the Ashkenazi, you know, Jews, the Sephardic Jews, and so on came here. And then after the 1400s, the word 1400s, 1500s, the word black and white, the word black and white came about because there were white indentured servants, black indentured servants, and when they saw how profitable that they was, because they weren't supposed to get married, they were supposed to not have any interaction together, but when they saw these people, black people giving birth, and white people give birth, they say, hey, listen, this is an asset. This is my future, all right? So they stopped the law about fraternizing with one another because it said it takes time from work and, you know, so on and so forth. And this black and white thing was carried over here, those people who are pure. Well, the people who thought they were pure initially, all right, and better than somebody else, you know, were the black hierarchy. Because that's all there were in Europe, you know. All right, those are the black hierarchies. They whitewashed all of European history that everybody's white, but when you go online, you can see that difference. There were black slave owners called white because they were European here, you know, in this country. But after the Civil War, what happened was the 40 acres and a mule they were supposed to give to slaves or what have you. But the white people, now that we call white people, what they did is they did not only kick the slaves in the ass, but their counterparts, slavers, black, who were initially called European and white also. So that's here, you know, when I hear the saying that, hey, listen, you know, we had 20 million acres of land, now we got 2-point-some-odd million acres of land. Slaves didn't have nothing. It was the white, quote unquote, black Europeans. That's how they were defined. And when the Civil War was over, the whites kicked them out, stole part of that 20 million acres of land. All right. And then they came into the Jim Crow and all this other kind of stuff. I've been trying to do some homework on, say, where did these people go? My thing is, just because we're black, all right, and we consider ourselves black or African American, during the Civil War, you had the black Irish coming here and the Huguenots who were black coming here fighting the Civil War. Not all those people were white. Okay. So we got to put things in perspective, and since I've been gleaning over this and studying it, and all my facts may not be right, may not be wrong, you know, but what I see is I refuse anymore to, contextualize with all black people, you know, we're different.
You know, once we understand. You know, like once we understand history and the condition of history,
yeah,
and we don't want history to repeat itself, at least the bad part
exactly.
of history, because history
yep.
is supposed to be historically a historical reference so that
mm-hmm.
you can go forward with something better. So if
yep.
you know that in history they did this, and then you go forward and make better tech, just like we got better technology than we had, you know, back
yeah, you meant, you,
100 years ago, 200
know,
years ago,
you
whatever.
You don't repeat the bad. You know, if you know
exactly.
history and you
exactly.
And you,
but it's intentional.
Yeah, and
you know, that is America. This is intentional. So, like I said,
yeah,
everybody,
yes, just,
white, black, or indifference,
yeah,
everybody
was
together
was
and say, "Hey, look, you know what? It's not beneficial to nobody." Like mm-hmm. I said, white people now, cops are just shooting a white guy the other day sitting in the car eating
yeah.
a hamburger in the parking lot of McDonald's. Okay,
mm-hmm.
They shot they beat the hell out of a white guy, a white guy. So I'm just saying the abuse is getting out of hand, and obviously it's going to affect everybody. You know, you can abuse mm-hmm. one group, but then that abusive behavior takes on its toll. The abuser,
yeah,
like I said, the victimizer will always accuse the victim, and so the
yep.
victimizer will find more victims. He becomes an addict. Victimizing
yep.
people, and that's what you got
yep.
today. So what we have to do as a society, we got to say, hey, look, government, you got to stop and sit down and adjust some of these laws. You got to sit down and adjust this constitution to meet the requirements of humanity. You got to sit down, and if you're truly a melting pot, if truly God gives to the world, and you're truly blessed by God, whatever, you got to sit down
mm-hmm.
and change those things which you know are not right. Things that you
mm-hmm.
know, there should be no such thing as white privilege. There is no
yeah.
such thing in a democracy. That's
it's
not a democracy.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. But it went from rich and privileged to white and privileged.
If
you watch the way the laws are capitulated now, the judges
yes.
are giving white people no sentences. And on the same charge, they'll give a black person 10 years. So you can see the
yes.
imbalance. So what I'm saying is,
mm-hmm.
if you are a monolithic society, if you are a patriotic or matriotic society, then you have to be that. You have, if America is what it wants to be, it has to stand up for that and make it what it is. You can't continue to pretend that something, you know, you can't pretend that pee is apple juice. It just don't work.
If
you are wrong and you know you're wrong, as they keep saying, slavery is America's original sin, then stop covering it up and put it where it belongs and denounce it and go on and readjust your laws, because the laws have not changed, because the Constitution have not changed. The 3/5 is still in the Constitution. So what do people think?
That was something absolutely, of course, I wanted to address before going through my diagram. If anybody on the line takes time, and I have it here in front of me, about the 13th, 14th, and 15th, and 15th Amendment, I'll just read the 13th Amendment. It's only two lines. Okay? It says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States of America or any other place subjected to their jurisdiction. Now, what that's saying is saying, listen, you know, this the punishment meets the crime. It's not just because your race or anything else, and this is the 13th Amendment. It's not because your race, you're black or anything else. So they're saying there is an aspect that if you do, like they say, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. All right, this is what that is saying. And I've read it so many times, but I had to slow down and read it again. And we're not getting that type of justice. Most of us get wrongly convicted anyway. You know, that's how this prison industrial complex has been working since prisons were segregated. Okay, all right, we would be the first ones out. And it says all persons born, naturalized in the United States, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which abridges the privileges and immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive a person of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection under the law. All right. And the last one, the right of a citizen in the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude.
When were these written?
This was June 31st, 18, the 13th Amendment. June 31st, 1865, and then the 14th Amendment, June 13th, 1866, ratified in 1868, and then the 15th Amendment, 26th of February, 1869, ratified February 3rd, 1870. And I'm saying sometimes we read too fast. You know,
the problem is that. The problem is that, remember, we had to amend certain constitutional laws that were prohibiting black people from doing common things. It was illegal for blacks to go to school until they made the amendment in 1957.
Yeah, that came in the 1900s.
Okay.
That came in the 1900s.
Okay, so I'm saying, what I'm saying is this. It sounds nice if you are a participant.
Yeah.
If you're considered, if the lawmakers at the time sat down and had you in mind, they didn't have you in mind, and they did everything to make sure that they did not apply to you.
All the amendments
and things that they were doing, they had a lot of dehumanizing experiences amongst the Europeans when they came from Europe. They already had bad experiences with one another back then. And they were, and remember, when the 13, before the 13 colonies came together, they were trying to alienate each other from having a superior position in this newfound land.
Yeah.
So they had a lot of, the Europeans had a lot of adjustments to make amongst themselves. And that's why they became the 13 colonies. And after the 13 colonies, they became the United States. They had, they were making a lot of adjustments amongst themselves. So I would dare say that when I read, when I listen to what you're saying, there was, I this is my take on it. They were making adjustments amongst themselves. Now, in the interim, to look like a humanitarian society, to look like a civilized society, they would indicate that, oh, this, you know, like when they say every man created equal, that that can mean anything. You know what I'm saying? That it doesn't, it's for me, my thing is how you're treating everyone. The proof is in the pudding. Amistad was a free man who came to America, and he was incarcerated, if you will, and put into slavery. And then he had to prove his,
that he was free man.
His traveling documents that he came here as a free man, wasn't a part of the Mayflower or whatever. And so he proved that. But that didn't, that, remember, even after Amistad made that great legal standing, it didn't set legal ruling. It didn't set law for others. Others continue to be enslaved. Like you said, there were black people walking around like they were slaves. So there was a lot of confusion when they talk about the Constitution. They talk about all these amendments and all these things they're doing. It's a lot of confusion who they were talking about. Because I'm saying your behavior, if you were talking about black people, you definitely didn't behave like it. So I'm looking at the end results. I'm looking at the condition that people face at in the society. That, you know, I'm looking at how blacks were treated. It was dehumanizing experience. We can go back. Even now, you look at white people going home for the same sentences that black people are getting five and 10 years for.
So that
tells me something is wrong. Something is wrong when a judge can sit there and manipulate rule of law like that, and nobody says a damn thing. Nobody says nothing. The lawyer, the defense lawyers, they're not saying nothing about rule of law. The judge's purpose is not to judge and to pass sentences based on his or her feelings. They are to adjudicate law. They are to interpret the law. And when the crime doesn't fit the time, there's something wrong. And when judges can do this time after, I'm seeing too much of it. The little boy ran out of the abandoned building. The cop shot his, now they want to give the little boy 50 years for murder. That's not applicable. That doesn't make sense to me. Okay. The kid hit another kid and took a quarter or 50 cent, a dollar, whatever it is. Now the judge trying to give the kid 118 years. This is happening in this fucking America. And ain't nobody saying nothing. It's not applicable law. The law and the time, and the white kid can steal a car, hit every damn body, kill people, and he can walk home. He can kill all these people in the church, and they'll take him to Burger King or wherever, McDonald's, and give him something to eat. I'm saying the laws in this country, definitely there's something wrong with it, because nobody has yet talked about the rule of law, talked about applicable sentences to the crime. Talk about how many percentages of people who just was released during 20 years for marijuana cases that Biden is starting to give, he's going to release these people. people that been 27 years, 30 years in jail with a sheriff that clearly had no evidence.
Yeah.
The time that the sheriff said that they were doing the crime, this guy was at work. He has a time clock. He has a supervisor. He can prove between the time that the man said he sold him the drugs that he was working, but the man spent 5 years in jail. What in the hell is going on?
Mm-hmm.
But the city and the town was getting hundreds of millions of dollars because Reagan had the war on drugs. And so all you had to do is deputize some idiot or give him federal authority and let him work with the feds on busing drug cases. They had no drug cases in that little town in Papalucha, Texas, some damn mm-hmm. where. The man that they say was a drug pen, the man was living off of $400 and some a month, Social Security retirement. He living like his house like it was abandoned. And they call him a drug lord. Didn't the judge look to see what the man's economics was? Show in all cases where these things are said, you have to show where there's money laundering going on. You have to show where the man drives a Mercedes Benz or Rolls Royce. He lives in a mansion. You got to show value. You call somebody a drug lord. And you said they're pushing. He said that guy was pushing $100 million a year in drugs. Mm-hmm. He should have shown where the guy living $100 million. The guy lived in a raggedy shack for the last 35 years, okay, and Cali can't eat, don't have proper shoes, can't talk, has a heart condition, look like he naked because he got no clothes, he got no money. And you calling him a drug lord? You mean tell me the judge ain't got common sense to evaluate anything? The prosecutors didn't look at anything? Ain't nobody said a damn thing? The people sit in jail for 5-10 years, now they want to come up and say, oh my God, the guy was a thug. He's still running around. He got his $15-20 million that he made off it because he got a commission off every time he put somebody in jail. That's wrong. To give benefit to law enforcement is wrong. If you tell a law enforcement officer right now, I'll give you $100 million if you find me the drug dealer, he's going to pull anybody off the street and make them a drug dealer because he wants that money. And this guy got the money. He was proven to be illegal, illicit in his behavior. He was proven to be a racist, and he was proven that he, or every 46 people that he put behind bars, not one of them he had any damn evidence. And the job of the prosecutor is to have evidence. That means that idiot went into court with no evidence, no nothing, and that prosecutor and that judge put those people in jail based on nothing. That's the America I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Could care less. 14, 11, 12, 2, 3, 9, the amendments, Constitution don't mean shit. It's like toilet paper as far as I'm concerned if it's not apply to law. If it's not a rule of law, then everything you said is bullshit. Okay? That's like me telling somebody you love them and then you throw them, you know, wife and kids, and you throw them in the street and don't give them nothing to eat, but I love y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Your behavior is not a pickup to what you're saying. And that's what people are saying to America. Everything you say did not apply to how you act and what you're doing. And they're doing it today. That's what bothers. It's all right. Okay. You make whatever happens in slavery, whatever money was made, whatever. But there's a time to show resolve.
Yeah.
There's a time to show I'm not interested in continuing with this behavior. America has proven, like attorney Jeff Robinson has said, America has proven time and time again of its greatness, and it has proven that it is the most racist, vile country in the world. And those two things do not come together.
Yes.
So for me to hear a constitution that says it has all these wonderful amendments and things in it that apply to mankind, and for me as an African American to continue to be treated like I am, to me that means nothing. It's just a bunch of talk.
We consider three-fifths of a human. So
they need to apply. They need to, the judges from the Supreme Court continuously give cops legal rights to kill people. They got a law out now. Nobody knows about it. I don't know. Nobody heard. The Supreme Court passed the law that if a cop feels threat, if he just feels his life is threatened, he can shoot you. Now, they're not saying him for him to kill you, but that's the end results.
Yeah.
Okay? So
yeah.
The cops are out of control. The system is in denial. It's a continuation of the same bullshit, and it's going to take America down because it got to stop. That simple.
Amen.
I'm going to open up mic 914-330. Your mic is open.
So well said, my brother Robinson. I agree with you.
Thank you.
The system is broken. It is definitely broken, and it needs to be upgraded. The whole Constitution, all these laws need to be upgraded because they're working on outdated laws, and there's a double standard with the system. There's no justice
Amen.
Here for black people. It's wrong. I'm looking at today how you got a 15-year-old kid that goes down in North Carolina and just shoots all these people.
Yes.
Come on. 15-year-old white boy. Well, it's okay for them to run around with weapons and guns and rifles and stuff and let a black kid be seen with a water pistol and the police are ready to kill him.
Yeah,
this double standard has got to stop. We have worked hard. We have done so much to build so much in this country, and we get no respect for it. This has got to stop. Them trying to dehumanize us. They need to do away with this stuff. 3/4 of an animal. Come on. This is ridiculous. When actual reality, when they're behaving like that. 3/4 of a human. Come on.
Yeah.
Savages. Savages. And yet still they want to label us. You got these judges that are out of control. You got the DAs that are out of control. You got the police that are out of control. And they want to call us?
That's savages.
They want to call us savages? The whole system is broken. I agree with you, Brother Robinson. It's broken. There needs to be some changes.
The thing about it is, the thing
and
about
it's gonna
it
have
is
to
that
be.
They're so stupid.
Really, they're very stupid. And the whole world
yeah, the
is looking at them like
the stupidity. The stupidity for me is that it's tearing up the system. It's tearing up the government.
Yes.
Tearing up the society.
Exactly.
The society's
That's
not
why I said the system is broken.
Society is moving backwards, and nobody is
exactly.
saying a damn thing about it. It's like, okay, you know,
que
sera, sera. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
it's time for a tremendous change.
Exactly, it's time for a change because there's too many people that are glorifying this and too many people are being benefiting from it and getting all kind of bonuses and commissions for all these things that they're doing.
Yes.
You know, and like
yes.
you say, incarcerating people that are not even guilty. You just have
yes.
to be at the wrong place at the wrong time because somebody's trying to run for office. So they don't care how many niggas they put behind bars, but they want to come, their claim to fame is, oh, I was responsible for cleaning up the streets. Nobody looks at the fact that you put innocent people in the jail.
Nobody looks at the fact
you destroyed
so many
families.
People now. Now they're saying how many people that are innocent, sent to jail for years, and are innocent.
Yeah.
And then they're not,
right.
now they look at the cases. They have seen that the cases had no foundation for incarceration
right.
of the person.
Yeah.
There was no,
yeah.
there was
the
no real fraud.
You're
evidence.
Talking about
yeah.
the innocent
but
project.
Not, but they're
yeah.
not saying how many people been executed and killed
exactly.
and are
exactly.
innocent. They're not saying
exactly.
that yet. But I'm just saying
exactly.
I can see that when you have a dysfunctional system, it's very easy for any dysfunctional person, any vile, ignorant, behind, racist person to get in there and just continue the abuse. That's the way it is. It's bad.
And also, you got those ignorant, abusive people in law enforcement as well. And they can have
of course.
Any one of us driving down 95 and all of a sudden, you're it. You got New York
well,
flags on your car.
Stuff. They get away from like
yeah,
you
got
I,
New York
I,
flags on your car.
I was telling, I looked at the 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff. Arrested 46 people, calling one poor man with living on Social Security disability a drug pen, but he lives in a raggedy old shack in Tuscaloosa, Texas.
Yeah.
Why didn't the judge or the prosecutor check his financials? checked his bank account, see what condition he's living under. I'm sure the man walked into the court half naked because they throw him out of his bed to lock him up. But this was the time of Reagan and the drug war, and they were giving hundreds of millions of dollars to these little towns if they could find drug dealers, and this man made millions off of these drug busts. He walks and go home. Nothing happens to him. He's still walking out, but the people were spent, you know, 3-4 years their life in jail. I'm just saying, it just
remember what happened under Obama.
Society supposed to be civilized and educated.
He was an actual criminal. He was a criminal, but they made him a hero.
Yeah.
Well, I know what you're saying, Dr. Robinson. There's been too many cases. They just continuously go on and on.
It's crazy. You know, it's sickening. It is.
And it doesn't matter who gets in office, whether Republican or Democrat. It's the same old game.
Same old crazy game, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know,
I
don't see no change.
Do away with this whole
until
system.
People,
get away,
until
do away with
people
the Democrats
of goodwill.
And Republicans to come up with something different.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Until people of goodwill, black, white, green, orange, immigrant, non-immigrant, whatever. Until people of goodwill get together and say, listen, this is stupidity, and give the evidence. Show the facts.
Exactly.
I'll show the facts.
Exactly.
Here is the cases. Tell me why we allow this to happen. How did this person end up 27 years in jail and there's not no evidence, no fingerprints,
no evidence,
no pictures,
but
no nothing?
They won't allow
no DNA.
They won't allow that investigation because it's going to expose the corruption. There's so many judges and everybody's going down. That's why they're not allowing it.
I told people the other day, 25 people lynched in different states in America. All right?
Exactly.
The cops
and they tried
decided
to say
it was suicide.
Yeah, that's
they're
crazy.
Not investigating.
That's crazy.
The prosecutors
are
not investigating. The families are asking for an independent prosecutor. They can't get it, and they're deeming these cases suicides. And that's what I'm saying. We're getting so
that's
close to a genocide of a people in America, African American people. And if we're not smart, if we don't learn to ask the right questions and prove the facts, because it's there. CNN did stories you can see over the period of years, 60 Minutes. This is not me talking. I'm not just making up stuff. You can go to people, you can Google everything I say, people, you can Google it and bring it up on YouTube, history, news reports.
Yeah,
I'm not talking
I've
about this is live in America. One little kid, I remember, I'm a part of the Innocent Project, one little kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think he stole a quarter or a dollar or something from another kid, probably hit him inside the head or something. And they want to give him 118 years.
Jesus Christ.
Ain't nobody said a damn thing about the rule of law. That's what I'm saying. When it comes to black people, you got to listen. They never talk about the rule of law. They never talk about
the double standard
sense that the crime must meet the time. They never say that. When white people are in court, they make sure the rule of law, they make sure every little damn dot is dotted and every T is crossed, and they get the rule of law. They get it trial. It's applicable to their case. But most of the time with the white privilege, they get off any damn way. But I'm just saying. And that black person can come up with the same identical case and do 5-10 years, and nobody saying anything. I don't understand. And why we not saying nothing in terms of Black Lives Matter and all these people, all NAACP, Urban League, all these black people all around the place. We need to stop bickering with one another and go after those who are definitely trying to kill us. I'm going to open up the mic right now of 602-478-608. Your mic is open.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. What up to everybody?
Oh, Don,
let's
give you a nice hand there. Pastor Don Jr., they hear your name all the time in the commercials and all that. So we have to give you a little shout out.
Oh, man, well, I've been around where I'm around for a very long time now, and I'm just thankful to be here. It's been a long time since I've been on the radio. I've been moving and shaking and making things happen, but I had to come to show some support today.
Appreciate it.
Amen. If y'all want to line, press number one. He'll open you right up. What is this? Come on now.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, welcome aboard, brother.
Well,
amen.
There's so much work to be done, you know, and
amen.
Like you say, praise God for Jesus. Praise God for the redemption. Praise Him for everything that, whatever happened. Praise the Creator, you know what I'm saying? And I was telling people, man, you know what? It's not about the theology and the doctrine. It's about the spirit.
Amen.
A lot of people get involved in theology and doctrine. My brother, Gino Jennings, Pastor Gino Jennings, big shot now on YouTube all over the place. And he's condemning. But he doesn't understand something. You condemn him based on theology and doctrine. But what about the spirit that unites people together and brings people to a forefront of power? See, religion, in its proper usage, it enhances the individual person to do the right thing to others. It brings people together, not divides people. But when you talk about doctrine, talk about theology, now you're going to have a problem. Because somebody wants to prove to somebody else that my God is better than your God. And then when you look at it in a general synopsis, it's all one God.
Yes.
His presence is omni. That means He's in everything. So there ain't nothing you can do, whether you think you're a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindi, a Rastafarian, a Jew, a Catholic. There's nothing you can do to negate His spiritual purpose in everybody's life. You can't theologically denounce me. You can't doctrinate. Your doctrine can't denounce me. God has put my presence on this earth for a purpose, and we all got a purpose. Everybody got a purpose.
Amen.
And God has put us on this earth for our purpose, and we got to serve that purpose. And when you understand that, then you understand that doctrine and theology is man constructed, and it has very little to do with God's general purpose of mankind. So, you know, we got a lot of work to do. But in the meantime, between time, we have to come together. In the meantime, between time, we got to get this reparations thing done. We got to call the White House people, 202-456-1111 or 888-422-4555. Tell them HRW 40. Push that reparation program through. That's $4 million for every African American over the age of 18. And it's about time we get our just due desserts. It's about time. It's financial. It's not important, but it's helpful. And if you spend the money right, we can rebuild the black community. We can rebuild our people. We can go forth. And whether people feel they're going to do it or not do it, make the call. Go to www.hrw.org/reparations now and sign. When you open it up, you sign the letter. And it goes straight to the White House. When you call the White House directly, the woman will take the message to Biden. And when you call the 800 number, it will give you a email back that you had reference to the HRW 40. It's about time for us to get this done. I could care less who want it, don't want it. It's time for us to push forward for it. It's the time to get economic changes going as well. And so as we go forward with that. So I'm going to open up the mic for the Enigma herself, Mrs. Carolyn Smith. Let's go give her a nice hand as well. You know what I mean?
I am so elated about all the brothers who are showing strength on this show. I don't think I should open my mouth. I mean, y'all just gave me enough energy that if I wanted to create a bomb just within myself, I just feel explosive. And you know that's not too healthy, but I feel good about all of this, everything that you're discussing, and just waking up to everything that's happening in America that's been happening since slavery. I mean, you don't see Indians ever, you know, we don't ask about paper. That's why we always keep the old paper and the old signatures, because they don't honor nothing. They sell their own. So we learned the hard way how they separated us from light skin and put us in suits and dresses and the whole nine yards and took land that wasn't theirs. I mean, England raised and born, and I know that everybody's falling apart, but since the queen is gone, so is America. All right? You've been paying taxes to them since slavery. And you did it on the backs of blacks, and then they brought in new, you know, Asians, and they still was keeping us as slaves. And as you see, we don't have two-thirds of what you have. Y'all got a school. We still have reservations. So what does that say when you see Indian Native Americans who are being kidnapped and raped and killed along the highways and byways of this country, and nobody says anything? I know how you feel. I know how you feel since slavery. How many black women might have traveled with their children and been raped and tossed over bridges? It's all good, and it's going to give you so much strength to do what you have to do today. That's all that is. That's what I was telling them at the meeting at the 50th Precinct. I've never been around weak senior citizens in my life, ever. And neither have y'all. Your grandmother was strong, cooking for 13, 15 people and washing clothes from the old ringers and scrubbing. We ain't never had nothing, nobody who you know that need a beeper or somebody to come check on them. If they knew how to walk, they was at your door. We never had this kind of weakness in our life. Our generation is weak and lost because we didn't keep up with our own. We sold ourselves out. And like someone said, it's going to come a time that your God's bigger than my God. Well, hey, the dollar don't mean nothing. They buying gold, and everybody's sucking the titty out of Africa like they just got straws. And I mean, throughout the whole world, everybody got a straw in Africa except American black. And those who do don't include others. And that's where we have to start getting together.
I'm glad you say that, because Uganda found $13 trillion in gold. It's very quietly kept. Nobody's saying what's happening.
That's true.
Well, I heard about that too. So the secret is out. We better go get our money. We better go get our stuff, because look, you fussing about the Europeans and they crying about the Ukraine, but believe me, they are in Africa, and from one end to another, you know, they are not playing with anybody. This is a one world order thing that's about to happen. And black man, go get that money, whatever you think America's going to give you, all well and good, but go get and save Africa. That's your land. And that's what the Ethiopian Federation is about. This is not this is not going to last too long. This is a bulletin board. I'm just running this to you. America is in a civil war.
There you go.
And they pulled Trump in there, since nobody knew how this started. When you saw them white roaches and black roaches climbing the Capitol, that's when it started. You had your civil war. Okay? It's not like we was blind. And I know I seen it. They was climbing up the walls, and they was all ready, and every KKK and program and group that they had something to do with racism had grown. And what my child told me, no, when Obama come, all that's over. I said, don't you believe it. I said, Whitey gets more upset when the higher black man gets. Well, this is your time, black. And I love y'all being on here and strengthening each other and talking to each other about real things and what's happening to our generation, because all we have in the streets is ignorance. And when somebody tells me, and they 16, what they going to do to me if I call the cops again, I said, your mother must be young enough to make another one. I am not that one. And I'm so dead serious that my son picked me up and he pulled me from, I said, because reaching down your throat and pulling your heart out, and the older ones had to tell him, she is not the one. We have to live around this woman. Do not trigger. I have no problem in reaching back. And I really don't have no feelings about this land because it was stolen. And everywhere, even if you in an apartment, the pipes are so old, you don't know what's going to pop. And the rats outweigh you. Almost 40 million throughout the five boroughs. Oh, hello.
Wow.
And we don't have a piper, and we ain't got a system to none of this garbage. We have to do it because the poor did it before. But this time, you won't forget this war. This is the last war. And we can do it.
I will
believe in us.
I'd like to also bring in Mrs. Dorothy Cook from the Amateur Millionaire BET show. She made several people millionaires, and she's been doing it for so long. Give a nice welcome to her. Well, Dorothy Cook, it's always good to have you on.
I was glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you. Give us some good words of encouragement.
Amen.
Say what?
Give us some good words of encouragement.
Well, what was the conversation about before I got on?
We were talking about economic development in the black community, moving forward, changing some of the conditions that we're living under, just trying to be better men, better women, better children in the society. You know, it's so many things going on in this country that is just, you know, it just makes you sick to see what kind of human violations against African-American community and the genocide that's going on. We have to come together and change some of this stuff. It's extremely important.
Yeah. Well, we have to stop looking at what's going on in the world and start looking at who owns the world. We cannot forget who God is. We cannot forget what he said.
Amen.
And that's the way I look at it. I stay in peace because the things that God said will come to pass. All this other stuff will come to naught. And the Bible asks you, if it is of God, if it is of man, it will come to naught. If it is of God, do you dare fight it? So the things we worry about running around and who going to be in the White House, you better worry about your house because the White House is going to be taken care of.
Amen.
Ain't gonna be a darn thing you can do about anything they do. All you got to do is trust God and keep moving and do whatever it takes to get you some money in your house because the White House going to have one. I don't care if it's Biden, Trump, whoever's in there. They are going to be covered and taken care of. It's you who sit out looking and talking about, I wish it hadn't have been him. I wish it hadn't have been them. Yet you do nothing. We won't even go vote. We won't do nothing but sit and complain. God does not like a complainer. He like a praiser, a praiser. If you praise him, the Bible said, if my people will call by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they'll hear from me and I'll heal their land. We won't do that. We want to do what we want to do, and we want to use God to do what we want him to do. We want him out of the schools. We want him out of the money. We want to call this right and that wrong, and that's not what God says. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Bible says he changes not. So if it wasn't no good then, it ain't no good now. And most people want to change the Bible to fit what they want, and that's not what God wants. We better hope and pray that he doesn't turn us over to a reprobated mind. What do? We love one another and trust God and stop complaining about what we choose not to fix. If you ain't going to fix it, shut up about it. Talk to
I'm working on it right now.
So what we got to do, we can love our way out of anything.
Money,
the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins.
Amen.
We as black people, the average black person don't want no love, they don't want no money, they don't want to do nothing, they just want to sit down and complain about what the white man doing. It ain't the white man, it's you. People know right from wrong, yet they'll go with wrong to please other people. What about pleasing God? What about waking up in the morning and just like Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Your country.
And keep moving. Find you some way to get you some money. You don't like what I'm doing, but find you another way because God knows you're going to need some money. You're going to need some money. And it ain't going to come from the White House. It needs to come out of your house.
Amen.
And that's what you got to remember. So my best advice to everybody on this phone is find you a way to make you some money because all hell is about to break loose. It is. But you got to keep watching God and trusting God and doing the things he say and be ready. Don't get ready, be ready. We always want to wait till something happens. That's why black people don't like insurance. They don't want to pay. They don't like prepaid legal. I wait to see what happens. We always want to wait to see what happens. That's why we're the last, the least, and the lost. Because we're lazy people. Now, yet when they call us lazy, we get mad. But we are. We don't want to do nothing. We got a whole list of what we don't want to do. Get a list of what you will do.
Amen.
And work on that. And stop complaining and start praising. You know, I'm so sick of people talking about Trump, but you ain't doing nothing about Trump. You followed up right behind him. So then love him and quit complaining about him. Complain about Biden. You ain't doing nothing about him. Love him and keep going. The price of gas is going up. Did not God say I'll supply all of your needs? So if you need gas, if it go up to $20 a gallon, you're going to figure out a way to get it. But complaining won't be the way to get it. Find you a way to make you some money. Money ain't everything. Yes, it is. It's right up there with air and water. And pretty soon, if you don't have none, you're going to find out what is everything. So I teach people to get money. But I don't want to do it that way. Well, your way ain't working.
Amen.
Because you keep doing the same thing over and over. That's insanity. And expecting different results, that's the same thing. You've been doing the same thing year after year after year after year, and you're still broke.
Mm.
Year after year after year after year, and you're still sick. And you won't do nothing but complain. So why expect anything if you do nothing? So I'm here to tell you, you may not like what I do, but you better find you something. And one thing you'll remember is that lady told me I better find me some kind of way to get money.
Hmm.
But they're going to cut everything. The price is going up, and you still got to eat, and you still got to live.
Amen.
See, pretty soon it ain't going to be nothing but the rich and the poor. Ain't going to be no middle class.
Hmm.
That's the way it is
now. It's cutting you all the way out. So
well, Dr. Cook, you have proven yourself many years on television and all those people you helped make. So you, it's a proven fact, you know, that you're capable of doing it if they follow the instructions.
Yeah, well, black people want to follow a white person. They don't want to hear nothing I'm doing. They want to pick everything I do apart. I tell them about some product. Well, it's a FDA approved. White man tell them to go jump off the boat, they'll jump. Won't ask them why, is it in the water? There won't even be no water there, and they'll still jump.
I hear you, babe.
I'm telling you the truth. a white man, I can stand in front of a bunch of black people. They're going, well, you ain't got this and you don't got that. And how do we know? You made $1 million. I don't believe it. Show me. A white man sat there and said he made $1 million. Not one of them Negroes will ask him to show him. Nothing.
Yes, I will. Because they steal more than Negroes.
Yeah, they do. But we believe, black people have made white people their God. See, God is still God.
There you go. That's the problem.
God is still God.
That's right, and he's
They'll
alive.
Believe anything a white man say and fight a black person to the end. But, you know,
God
one thing I learned, and I had to learn it the hard way, I wanted to help everybody. And God had to show me, poor you will always have. God said that. I didn't say it. And my grandmother told me, if God said it, that settles it. Ain't no arguing, ain't no debating. Nothing you can do about it. If God said it, it's so.
It is so.
So if God says the poor you're going to always have, why am I trying to save everybody? I'm not going to fight God for nobody. So there's always going to be some poor. So I'll try to help those that want to be helped, and those that want to be poor, leave them and let them complain. God said if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. We got too many people want to eat and don't work.
Amen.
We got it backwards and twisted.
Amen.
God forbid you try something new, or God forbid you try something and somebody else, they say it don't work. Who is they? Them, they, and it is broke as hell. But we'll follow them. We'll follow the broke person.
Amen.
Broke people is like E.F. Hutton. When broke people speak, everybody listens. But when somebody that's got something, I was always told, if you find somebody that got what you want something, you know somebody already did it, you can do it, and you can do it better. And that's what I do. I seek to do it better. Nobody can tell me what I can't have. God said I can have it. And if God said I can have it, the angels don't want to stop me. Satan can't stop me, and I'm not going to let no Negro stop me. Or white man. Or green man. Or yellow man.
Amen.
So my best advice again to everybody is find you a way and find it quickly and stop sitting, talking, and doing nothing. Faith without works is dead. And the Bible says if you got enough faith as a mustard seed, you could speak to a mountain. No, we want to climb the mountain. I'm climbing up the roof side of the mountain. The Bible says speak to the mountain. He didn't say climb it. Speak to it. And it'll move. Fig tree, and he answered it. Say, you will be here no more. We want to sit there and reason with it. So when people are ready to change, see, everybody won't change, but you must be the change you seek.
Amen.
It must start with you. If it is to be, it's up to you.
Amen.
It's up to you. And get out of your comfort zone. God doesn't meet you in your comfort zone. He wants you out of there. If you're in your comfort zone, why do you need him? Moses, they didn't part the Red Sea till they got there. They went through all of that. When they got at the Red Sea, God could have parted long before they got there, and they wouldn't have to try to figure out what they was going to do. But he let them get to the Red Sea, and he parted it. We don't want to go through nothing. We don't want to do it. God part the sea. Give me some money. We don't want to do nothing.
I ain't never known it.
So that's all I have to say this evening. I thank y'all for listening. I pray that you find you some way to change your life, because you need some monies. You need some monies. And don't be saying, I ain't going to do that no more. I tried one, and it didn't work. Well, if you're a man, you had a woman before she didn't work, you got another one. If you're a woman and had a man before he didn't work, you got another one. So don't stop when it comes to your future. Keep going. Keep going. Google the millionaires and the billionaires. They didn't stop the first time somebody told them no.
That's
no
right.
is not a no is not a, a what is it? It's not a destination. It's just a stop.
That's right.
Right on the other side of no is yes.
Talk it, girl.
But we let one no stop us. One no. God forbid we get two. We go sit down for real.
Oh,
and no should never be a final answer for
That's
anything.
That's right.
Not and God said yes. God said yes.
Amen.
So So my name is Dorothy Cook. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Y'all be blessed and have a great evening.
Amen.
Now, you want to give out your you want to give out your contact information, your email or something?
Sure. Well, anybody want to be helped, I will help you. 281-802-8103. Third time, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 281-802-8103. If you want to know, call, find out. What they say, inquiring mind wants to know, call and find out. If not, God bless you, because I'm good. God knows I'm good. And I can help people become good that want. And the key word is help. Help. Everybody should want to help themselves. You are the biggest factor in your life. In your life. If you help you, you can reach out and help somebody else.
Amen.
He don't love you and don't help you. Jesus, what do you want?
Hmm.
So if anybody want to call and talk afterwards, I'm open. I'm always open. Because this is what I do. This is what I love to do, help people. God gave me a gift. My gift back to him is what I do with it. And I'm going to use it because I don't want to lose it. So God bless each of you. Have a great evening, and hopefully I'll hear from some of you. If not, be blessed. And don't always
take
the easy way out.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Thank you so much for the words of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. We need that in these times and days, man, out for young folk and going forward. I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome.
Amen. Amen.
Now I'm going to open up the mic of the man himself. He comes on tomorrow, 7 to 9, Dr. Benjamin Bridges, Experiencing Spiritual Unity and Meditation. Let's give him a nice hand. Welcome him to the studio.
Yes, sir, my brother. I'm glad to be able to come on the radio show. And also just wanted to say that, you know, some really nice things that were said as far as trying to get people to see that we need to step up to the plate and really get some things done. And it's true, you know, we can definitely make some serious change come about.
You're standing up.
Bottom line is, they're on the sideline. They're going to make it happen. But anyway, yeah, I don't know if you guys spoke about the situation with the money for the 4 or 5 mil that, you know, supposedly given up at this time to our folks, you know. And I'm trying to see if that can come through for each individual. And that would be a great thing, you know, that would really be very helpful. It's not a guarantee, but the bottom line is that it's something that we can't afford to just let go because it's a great opportunity. So I'm hoping that, you know, our folks will, you know, get more involved with that because that comes through as a blessing of God. That would really be great. And, you know, it would really help out tremendously in regards to a lot of our people that are going through serious changes financially, poverty, and financial troubles that they have. Tremendously. So all I have to say is, you know, I'm just really glad to see that, you know, this is something that's on the table right now. And I really hope that our people do step up to the plate to get involved with it to make sure that it comes through. And that's called preparation money, because it's definitely something that's owed to us. It's not even a question of should we get it or anything like that. We should definitely get it, you know, because all that we went through during that time period was ridiculous, man. You know, you're talking about disrespect and just taking advantage of people and all of that. You know, now is the time when they could give up that cash. So we'll see what happens. So between good old Obama and Biden, those are the ones that are supposed to, you know, see if they can open the door for that. And if they can, that would be great. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, like I said before, it's not 100% that it's definitely going to happen. But at the same time,
amen,
it's a great opportunity that I don't feel we can afford to just let slip through our fingers and don't even really get involved with it.
Great.
Anyway, we'll see what happens. And,
okay. Thank you so much.
We have a hard time
hearing you, but we appreciate it.
We really start to believe that these are things that can fly for us.
Okay, we're going to bring on the man himself, Nathaniel Evans, on the Nathaniel Evans podcast. Give him a nice hand. Welcome him into the studio. Okay, we are going. Last but not least, give you the last 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay, awesome. Always great to hear from everybody. Definitely, I took your name down, Dorothy Cook. I'm actually going to give you a call. I'm always looking for business and always looking to connect with my people. Ms. Carol and Ron, it's always a pleasure. Everything y'all said was true, so I definitely agree with the state that we're in as a people, but we don't really have to be there. And we always can, you know, increase each other. I was on a call, 2 days ago, I was on a call. And I, you know, referred my friend to this woman that, you know, she deals with investments, whatever. And, you know, as he was talking, you know, I was seeing that, you know, my friend was really excited about what she was doing. She worked with a company called Novatech, which actually I work with too. But in the call, you know, I've heard life. You know, I heard these two people talking about life, you know, and understand that they can actually change, you know what I'm saying, the economical stance. But after the call, after he got off, I was on a call with her. She was like, you know, I see that, you know, you're trying to help this person. I see you passionate about this person. I see you passionate about helping people. I'm going to sponsor the next 5 people that you want to bring into the business. Right? And I was taken aback. I was like, what? You serious? And it just showed me that, you know, as Dorothy said, when we have gifts, we extend those gifts to one another. That way we can keep our gifts, right? Because, you know, charity covers a multitude of sins, you know what I mean? And through our charity, we work with one another, increase to one another, not increase in Nike, not increasing Tesla, you know, not increasing, you know, the chains they got out there and the sneakers and stuff like that, but increasing us as people, right? You worship a house before you honor a man or a woman, but you need that same man and woman to build that house, right? So we have to actually start changing the framework of actually how we identify with one another. And that we actually understand that we are our greatest asset. Like, I'll say this on my podcast all the time, and I always welcome people to come on my podcast, reach out to me. You know, my name is Daniel Evans. My number is 347-788-7925. 347-788-7925. I would love to have, you know, the people that's on this platform as my guests to speak about what they're doing, you know, what direction they're going in, how they can help other people. My podcast is about leadership and spirituality, and I put those in a nutshell. You know, King David was a leader, but he was also spiritual. You know, he also connected to the Most High on mad spiritual levels to the point the Most High said King David was his friend, right? And we want to be friends with the Most High. So we want to do things that are good in this life, so the Most High can remember who we are. You know, we can have that blessing. You know, we can be at peace when it's time for us to be at peace, you know, and not be afraid because we condemn life and we destroy life, or we thought we did great in life, and we're not. You know, we're all life forces, and especially us as a nation of people, the so-called African Americans, whatever they want to title us, we have responsibility towards one another and to remove burdens from off one another's backs. Don't leave a burden there when you see a man trying to push these things up off him. You know, I love to help people that I see that's striving to help themselves. If you don't want to help yourself, I just can't come and say, here, you know, because I could get it to somebody that can actually take what I give them, you know what I'm saying, and turn that, you know what I'm saying, into a revenue for them, you know what I'm saying, you know, resonate that into their lives and increase the lives of their sons and their daughters or their wives or husbands or things that make sure. I don't want to give something to someone that's not going to increase it as I increased it for him, for others. So it's about removing burdens off of one another's shoulders, allow us to get that light step in our walk, you know, that positive energy when we're moving through the land. This is really important and essential for the overall development of our lives. We need to have that spring in our walk. We need to have that light in our eyes. We need to have that concept to our heart. Mm-hmm.